Let's start with a model with a similar history to Mauna Kea's activism, Kaho'olawe. After more than 50 years of U.S. military bombing and decades of protest by the Protect Kaho'olawe Ohana, the island was returned to the state in 1994 and a management body was created. Michael Naho'opi'i is the executive director of the Kaho'olawe Island Reserve Commission.
There's so much autonomy that was given to one commission. I don't know if people are going to, you know, willing to give that much autonomy to a single commission again.
He says much of the board's success in restoring the island's biological and cultural landscape comes from not having to ask other agencies before taking action. All stakeholders have a seat on the commission, including the Protect Kaho'olawe Ohana.
We're a temporary caretaker until such time that there is a sovereign Native Hawaiian entity that has been recognized by the state and then also by the federal government. So we're holding the land in trust until that time.
Other management models have dual missions like Papahana Mokua Kea National Marine Monument. It's one of the world's largest protected areas for fish and wildlife, and it's also a place where Native Hawaiians believe life originates and spirits return after death. The monument is co-managed by several government agencies and Native Hawaiian organizations.
One of our mottos is where nature and culture are one.
Athleen Clark is the monument superintendent for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. She says part of managing the monument involves gatekeeping, and entry to the marine sanctuary is reviewed by two separate but equal groups.
So all of the science applications still get reviewed by practitioners in the Native Hawaiian community. All the Native Hawaiian applications also get reviewed for their biological impact or significance.
And then we have community-based models, like Hawaii's first subsistence fishing area in Haena Kauai that started 4 years ago. Kevin Chang is the executive director of Kua'aina Ulu'awamo. The organization helped the Haena community develop its fishing resources.
This is when communities are given some empowerment to create the rules for their place and play a role in the management of that place, in partnership with the government.
So when it comes to managing Mauna Kea, there are no lack of models. But first, Greg Chun, executive director of Mauna Kea Stewardship for the University of Hawaii, says there's a fundamental question to ask.
You know, is Mauna Kea a science reserve that happens to be a culturally significant landscape? Or is it a culturally significant landscape that just happens to be the premier place for astronomy? Once you start reframing where your starting point is, then you have an opportunity to make different decisions.
That's a question UH Regents will be grappling with throughout the day as they hear testimony on how to best manage Mauna Kea. For Hawaii Public Radio, I'm Kuvehi Hiraishi.